Hello and welcome to the Central Fellowship Hour. The Central Fellowship Hour comes to you from the sanctuary of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Stay with us on today's program for uplifting music and a message from the Word of God. In just a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Rodney Queen, Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship. Central Fellowship is a Bible-believing assembly committed to solid growth, celebrative worship, responsible stewardship, and effective prayer. To learn more about this exciting church, visit the website at centralfellowship.org. That's www.centralfellowship.org. And now, here's Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship, Dr. Rodney Queen.
Hello, friend. This is Pastor Rodney Queen. In just a moment, you're going to hear a message from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 15. I entitled the message, The Underground Sin, Bitterness. The scripture there speaks of an unseen root of bitterness that if it's not dealt with, by the grace of God, it will spring up and it'll cause a lot of trouble for yourself, and it will defile and spread to others. I trust that you'll listen to this message with an open heart, ask the Lord to speak to you, and may this be a spiritual help to you from the Word of God. First, you'll hear a portion of some special music, then our prayer course, inviting the Lord to speak to our hearts and to illumine our eyes, and then the message from God's Word. God bless you.
Let's sing our prayer chorus, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall
hear from you today. Point us in the direction that we're to go. Bless our pastor now as he opens the word. Prepare his heart as he stands here and bless him in Jesus' name. We commit this time to you. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
And as Brother John just prayed, this is the first message of the brand new year, 2006. So you can imagine there's a lot of themes and a lot of things from the scriptures that comes to a pastor's mind that he'd like to preach on that first Sunday morning, that first service, that first message to start out the brand new year. And this morning, God has led me to speak to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. You'll be turning there, Hebrews chapter number 12. One particular verse of Scripture that I believe every one of us this morning needs to see, needs to understand, and needs to heed. Can you hear Can you hear those chains that are rattling? You can't hear them audibly. But this morning, some of you have got chains that you are rattling every time you move. You can't see those chains with physical eyes, nor can you hear those chains with audible ears. But those chains are no less there. Those chains, those shackles, cause you not to be able to be free, to move as you would like, causes you not to be able to do what you need to do in your life because there are some unseen restrictions that are binding you. By the way, do you understand what you see on the screen? Picture in your mind a fish tank. And that fish tank is filled with dirt. And then they have taken a seed and planted that seed there on the edge of the fish tank. And here's a cutaway where you can see that germination has taken place with that seed. And the root is going down and the plant is going up. Now here's the full picture. Here's the whole picture. You can see it more clearly and understand what you're looking at. However, what I want you to focus on this morning is what is below the surface. Because today I want to tell you about the underground sin. The sin that is not seen. The sin that is under the ground. We see what's above the ground, unless we have, of course, a cutaway like this that gives us perspective. But this morning, this underground sin is bitterness. This underground sin is called bitterness. It is called that in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Out of respect for God's Word, would you please stand as we read? I'll read aloud if you would read from your Bible there silently. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now let me read it again. Let me read it slowly, deliberately, accentuating certain words and phrases. Looking diligently, lest any man, fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Pray with me. Father, this morning, would you uncover the sin of bitterness in many people's hearts? Would you help them to see that they cannot function 100% in freedom with the sin weighing them down called bitterness, hurt, anger? God, may you speak to our hearts this morning on this first day of 2006. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Look there at the screen at what this sin does to a man. It consumes him. It consumes her. This sin, this root of sin that begins in the heart and it spreads and it causes
a contamination. It causes a consumption. It causes every part of the being, from the heart to the head, to the brain, to the senses, to the understanding. It affects every part of this person. 14 years ago, a little bit over 14 years ago, the first official message I preached from the pulpit of Central Fellowship was a message from this very verse of Scripture. I am convinced that the handicap of many people as they go through their everyday lives, many times so used to the handicap that they forgot that they've got it. It's the bitterness. It's the captivity of anger, the shackling of a bitter heart. It doesn't stay in the heart. That's where it starts. But it spreads. I want you to keep your Bible open here, and I want you to look at some words with me from verse number 15. I want you, first of all, to look at the word there, root. Root. In the middle of the verse, it says, lest any root of bitterness spring up. You see, a root is what is under the ground. The root is what is unseen. The root can be bad or it can be good. It can be a good fruit or it could be a poisonous fruit or plant or whatever. But the root is there. Now let me say to you what the root is. In all of our lives, in all of our experiences, I'm talking to every last one of us because you've experienced this. The root begins with a hurt, a wound. Something happens. Somebody hurts you. Somebody wounds you. Somebody pierces you. It can be by words. It can be by action. It could be a situation on your job. It can be a promotion situation that you're passed over and the person beside you gets. It could be a rejection in a marriage by a husband or a wife. It could be a rejection or a falling through of a relationship with a boy and a girl. It can be in a relationship in a family between a child and its parent. It could be a hurt in a thousand different directions. But that's where the root begins. It begins with a hurt. It begins with harm. It begins with a situation that spells hurt, pain. Now, I don't know what it is that pops into your mind, but I'm sure something pops into your mind if you're a living, breathing person this morning. Because who hasn't been hurt? Who hasn't had a wound? But it's at this point with the hurt that you decide what is going to come from that. And again, remember, this is underground. Nobody sees the hurt in your heart. Oh, your face might show hurt. Your eyes might produce tears that reveal hurt, but nobody can see the hurt in your heart. They can only see expressions of that hurt. You might have said before to someone, you just don't know how bad it hurts. As I tried to talk to a buddy of mine, even last night, who his 20-year-old boy was killed last week. And it slipped out of my mouth. I didn't mean to say it. I said,
I know what you're going through. And I stepped back and I said, I didn't mean that. I can't unless that's happened to me. Sometimes we just trip all over ourselves, don't we? When we're trying to comfort somebody, we say things that we really don't mean. How deep that hurt is in his heart. What he does with that hurt will be a choice that he makes and that we make. So the word root here, the word root is underground. It is unseen, but it is alive. It is going to go down further, and it's going to go up further. Soon it's going to bust through the ground, and then there's going to be visible manifestation of that root. Look at the next word, the word bitterness. Root of bitterness. Bitterness implies distasteful. Bitterness implies acidity. Like acid that's bitter, acid that eats, acid that consumes. Bitterness is just that. Bitterness is an acid, as someone has wisely stated, that eats the container that it is held in. You know, certain acids, certain chemicals, they have to be stored in certain types of environments. They have to be stored in certain types of containers because certain containers would be eaten right through. And of course, the container that God has made you and me physically is not a container that can contain bitterness. It will eat through. It will eat through. It will cause damage. And even modern psychiatry says that a bitter person, that person can be consumed with ulcers. That person can be consumed with high blood pressure. That person can be consumed with an acidity that is spread to all those around them. Just in their words, just in their temperament, just in their inflection. Everybody feels, senses, tastes the bitterness that's in the atmosphere. You say, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to control it. I'm going to keep it underground. The hurt that I have, nobody's going to know about it. I'm not going to tell my best friend. I'm not going to tell my mate. That bitterness is suppressed. But it keeps going down, that root, and it keeps going up. And even when that seed of bitterness is under concrete, you've seen it happen that a little seed can bust the concrete. The little seed can do much damage, that seed of bitterness. People talk about nursing grudges. Well, no matter how much you nurse a grudge, it never gets better. A nurse tends to help people get better, but nursing this won't. Nursing a grudge will not do anything but get worse and worse and worse. Back in 1981, E. Stanley Jones in Reader's Digest was explaining something here about bitterness. And he talked about the rattlesnake. And he said those that handle rattlesnakes said that a rattlesnake can be cornered. When that rattlesnake knows it is cornered, it has no way out. Sometimes that rattlesnake will become so angry, it will strike and bite itself. That's exactly what harboring hate and resentment against others is. It's the biting of one's self. We think that we're going to harm others in holding in these spites and hates, but the deeper harm is to ourselves. Bitterness. God's Word says you better look carefully, you better look diligently, lest this root of bitterness begins underground, unseen, in the secret. Notice the next word, the word trouble. You see it there in verse 15? That this root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You see the word there, springing is attached to the word trouble. This root of bitterness springing up. In other words, there's a growth process. This root of bitterness that starts out small, through a growth process, it springs up and it troubles you. It hurts you. It affects you. Some of you remember the old comedian Buddy Hackett. He said that he had a few arguments with people, but I've never carried a grudge. He said, I've learned not to carry grudges. You know why? He said, while I'm carrying the grudge, they're out dancing, having a big time. He said, I'm the one that suffers. That's exactly what unforgiveness and bitterness does to a person. It shackles you, and the person that you've got the grudge or the hurt against or bitterness against, they can keep on going. But you've allowed yourself to be a victim. You've allowed yourself to be hurt, and then you've nursed that hurt, and you've caused that thing to turn into bitterness, and now it has troubled you. Maybe it's led to troubling you and not being able to sleep. Maybe it's troubled you in the sense that you're not able to concentrate. Maybe it's troubled you that you're not able to perform your best on the job. Maybe it's caused that bitterness has caused in you not to be a good mate to your husband or wife. And don't forget the precious children God's placed in our care. If bitterness is in us, it troubles us and causes us not to be able to be the daddy or the mama to that child. It troubles you. It hurts you. It handicaps you. Look at the word defiles. The last part of verse 15 says, and thereby many be defiled. You see, the hurt in my heart begins as a root. It begins to spread. It turns into bitterness. It begins to affect me. It troubles me. But then it says, it goes from you and now it defiles people around you. Notice the terminology here is the terminology that is used in infectious diseases. Leprosy in the Bible was an infectious disease. And because people could catch leprosy from a person who was infected, God said that there had to be quarantines. They could not come in and be amongst the normal people lest they defile someone. So the leper had to be segregated, and the leper had to call out on the street corner as they were approaching someone, unclean, unclean. Not speaking to the person being unclean, but identifying, I'm unclean, stay away from me. Lest that person who is healthy becomes defiled. Listen, bitterness, it spreads. It taints. It defiles people around them.
You're listening to Dr. Rodney Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour. He'll be back with more in just a moment. Dr. Queen is Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, conveniently located on Highway 247 between Macon and Warner Robins, just across from the airport. The number you can reach the church, 478-781-2981. And we'd love to hear from you. 478-781-2981. Now here again is Pastor Rodney Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour.
You know, certain people, because of their bitter hearts, their bitter spirits, it comes out, it expresses itself in many different ways through cynical remarks, hateful remarks, and people that are around those bitter people, being human that we are, being fallen that we are, having a bent toward negativity that we all do, we start picking up on those things. And have you ever noticed that when you're around negative people, you tend to get negative yourself? Complaining people, you tend to get to complaining yourself? Well, this is a much deeper issue. People that have anger problems, people that have some of the type behavior we see in our society, destructive type behavior, it goes back to hurts. It goes back to unresolved hurts and pains. And it grows. It begins to destroy the individual. It troubles them. But through their self-expression, it begins to defile other people around them. Are you infected? Are you contaminating those around you? Are you contaminating husband, your wife, by your bitter spirit? And wife, likewise, we understand why some children grow up in such hate-filled homes and bitter homes, and why they turn into hateful, spiteful, bitter kids, teenagers, and adults, is because that root of sin in that home was never dealt with, and as a result, it spread and defiled. Wouldn't it hurt you? Wouldn't it really hurt you to know that your child or your grandchildren, wouldn't it hurt you to know that through a fault of your own, as a parent or grandparent, something that you allowed in your life affected, was passed down to, defiled your children and your grandchildren? Wouldn't that hurt you? Well, daddies and mamas, granddaddies and grandmamas, if you've got a bitter heart, a bitter spirit, it will affect others. Please don't let your hurts in your heart defile those that you love. Look at the word fail. You see that in verse 15? Looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God. This is the reason why people get bitter. They fail a test. Now look, can we go through life without being hurt? Is it possible? No, it is not possible. You might be looking for utopia, but you'll never find it. As long as humans are sinful, as there's sin in this world, you will be hurt. You will be disappointed. Others will misuse you and abuse you. That is par for the course. The only perfect individual that ever was on this earth, Jesus. Was he wounded? Was he bruised? Did he suffer? The Bible says it this way. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one poet said, Jesus knew every letter of the alphabet of pain, sorrow, and heartache. And we sometimes flippantly say, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. We don't know what we're saying sometimes. Do you want to be a person of sorrow, acquainted with griefs, and experience the heartache that he did? But Jesus, the Bible says, when he was hanging on that cross,
when all the world was spewing the venom and hatred toward him, it said that there was found no gall of bitterness in his lips. And what did he say to those who were crucifying him and those that were mocking him and those that were cursing him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus did not fail the hurt test. And the hurt test is this: when you get hurt, which you will, God says at that moment, He allows something to be given to you. It's illustrated in nature. It's illustrated with an oyster. An oyster, what do they produce instead of, besides just good eating? I like oysters. But what do oysters produce? Say it. How do they produce pearls? It begins with a hurt. When a grain of sand gets into the oyster, it pierces the membrane. And when it pierces, it then secretes something that covers the hurt. And it keeps secreting to cover the hurt. Layer after layer after layer after layer after layer after layer and countless layers until a pearl is the result. Of every precious gem known to man, diamonds and so forth, there's only one precious gem that is the result of a living organism. That's a pearl from the oyster. Caused by hurt. And the same thing happens to you and I when a hurt comes to my heart. God gives me that secretion we'll call the grace of God. That grace of God will take that hurt and He will use it. Like Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, brothers. God meant it for good and turned it into a great good." But Joseph didn't sit in his jail cell after he was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. He didn't sit there for 13 years bitter and angry and spiteful and say, "Wait till I see them. I'll get them back." No, Joseph received the grace of God that was extended to him. You see, there's a saving grace of God, and there is a sustaining grace of God. When you get saved, that's the amazing grace the song talks about that saves a wretch like me. But if you read and listen to the song Amazing Grace, it talks about sustaining grace in that song. We'll not take the time to look, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember when Paul had a thorn in the flesh? He had some kind of problem, and that problem, he said, "God, remove it. God, get rid of it." How many times did he pray for God to remove that thorn in the flesh? 3 times. And what did God tell him as an answer? "No, I'm not going to remove it, but my," say it, "grace is sufficient for you. I will give you grace, Paul, to go through that handicap, whatever the handicap was, whatever that thorn was. I'm not going to take it away, but every day I'm going to give you grace to take that handicap, that hurt, and to make a pearl in your life." That's what God wants to do. That's what God will do if you respond to the grace that's given to you. Every one of us knows what revenge feels like. Every one of us knows what payback feels like. When somebody hurts us, the first thing this flesh wants to do is get back. Getting back never solves the problem. The getting back, the striking out, the going against the grace of God, it only makes it worse and worse. And worse. And you see that little bug get in that spider's web. You see that bug flying around that spider's web and you say, "Bug, get out of here. You don't understand what's about to happen." And that bug hits that spider's web. The spider's just sitting over there. He's just waiting. Doesn't have to make a move. Doesn't have to do anything. But when that bug hits that spider's web, human nature or bug nature takes over. And what does the bug try to do? Tries to resist. Tries to get out. And the more it does it, the more secure he's caught in the web. That's exactly human nature. We try to resist. We try to fight it. We try. But what happens is we fail of the grace of God. Look at that next word. I've already hinted at it and spoke a little bit about it, but the word grace. The word grace literally means giving me what I don't have. Giving me that which I don't deserve. Giving me that which comes directly from God. How can a person forgive when someone has done a dastardly deed to you? Well, how can God forgive? It's a supernatural forgiveness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, He died for us. He loves us. God commendeth, or He showed His love to us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says. Christ died for us. It's a supernatural love. Grace is a supernatural thing, and God promises to give you grace. He says, "I'll give you that power to do what you possibly could not do on your own, which would be impossible for you to do on your own. I'll give you grace. I'll give you that secretion to cover that hurt, to make a pearl." One last word here. Looking. In fact, it's the first word of verse 15. Looking. Here is a command, a warning to all of us. Be on guard. Looking. And how does He tell us we're supposed to look in that verse? Diligently. Always on guard. Because it's always that possibility of hurt and bitterness in our life. Sometimes it could be something that happens in your Sunday school room. Sometimes it could be something that happens on visitation. It could be something that happens in the most holiest of context, where the devil just gets in and the devil says, I'm going to try to get this person upset, bitter, hurt, angry, dissatisfied, and then I'm going to begin to nurse it. I'm going to begin to put them in a greenhouse type atmosphere so that everything around them, everything the preacher says or what their friend says or their husband or wife says, everything, I'm going to take it and use it to drive that wedge deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you cooperate, He'll do it. But you've got to be looking, looking diligently, be on guard, understanding the wares of the devil, understanding the devices of the devil, understand the strategy of the devil, understand the meaning and the working of the human nature. And knowing those things, you're prepared to fight the battle. When the hurt comes, deal with it right then. Don't fail of the grace of God. Now remember what I said in the beginning. This sin is underground. Meaning that I'm looking at you right now throughout this congregation. I'm looking at you and I cannot see the hurt in your heart. I cannot see bitterness that might be in this infancy stages because it's underground. If you're going to deal with it, maybe it's been a while since you've dealt with the situation, whatever the situation might have been. Maybe it's already broke through the surface. Maybe it's already evidenced by people around you. They know something's wrong with your spirit. Years ago in our home, in our yard, at 125 East William Street, there was a bush that I was always having to deal with every year for the years that we lived at that location. That bush was a thorny bush. That bush had red berries on it. And on several occasions, I took my daddy's pruning shears, and I had cut the bush flush with the ground. I mean, you couldn't see it except the little trunk of it was flush with the ground. I could run my lawnmower over it. But guess what happened? And what kept happening? It kept coming back. I had not killed it. I had just suppressed it. I could just go back to the workshop and go back with the lawnmower and think, I've taken care of that. It's not going to hinder me anymore in cutting the grass in that area. But it just sat there. In fact, probably helped it some. Because it just was able now to concentrate more and just putting more shoots out from that root. This is what you must do with the sin of bitterness. You have to pull it up from the roots. Pull it up by the roots. Look at all that stuff there. Look at all of that. All those little tendrils that has gone out here and there. Those tentacles. All of that in search of keeping it down. In search of not budging. Leaving it in the ground where it wants to be. When you deal with the root of a problem, it's usually not pretty. But it's necessary. So, I've delivered what God has had for me to deliver to you this first message of 2006. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Lord, the light of your love.
Listening to the Central Fellowship Hour, coming to you from Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, in the heart of Georgia. Central Fellowship is on Highway 247 between Macon and Warner Robins. Dr. Rodney Queen is the senior pastor and sincerely appreciates your response. Address your letter to Central Fellowship, 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, Georgia, 31206. That's 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. If you'd like to call, it's 478-781-2981. That's 478-781-2981. Or visit them online at centralfellowship.org. Join Pastor Queen and the assembly at Central Fellowship Baptist Church this same time next week, right here on the Central Fellowship Hour.